ego eimi. The phrase that refers to the tetragrammaton, which is the three letters that make up a word that cannot be said. Yahweh. The word Yahweh is being, existence, he who is. You get the idea. It's an active verb in reference to speaking about G-O-D. And I say it that way because if you were to read Hebrew scriptures, when you came upon the word that we say God, that you see G-D. In Hebrew, they don't even say the word God. They don't use that word. So when Moses asked God in the vision of the burning bush, who are you? He said, ego eimi, I am who am. And that I am became a symbol of more than a few words. It became a symbol of the presence of God. So no one said it. You could read it, but you couldn't read it out loud. When you saw the word Yahweh, you didn't read it out loud. So when Jesus says to the Pharisees who are questioning him because he's telling them that he is the new covenant, they said, come on, you know, you don't know Abraham. And God made the original covenant with Abraham, and he promised to make Abraham the father of many nations, and his people would be as numerous as the sands in the sea. Who do you think you are? He says, ego eimi. Oh my goodness, you got to realize they must have been up in arms. You had to go hide. This is the sun. If this was read on a Sunday, this would be the reading, go back a few decades ago, when the statues in church would be covered. Remember, now we cover them for Good Friday, but those days before Vatican II, we used to cover the statues as a symbol of this, Jesus leaving the public eye and hiding. So we covered the statues in our churches. We don't do it. It's a nice tradition. Some churches still do it. It's a tradition, not necessary one way or the other. But it's a symbol of what Jesus was doing then when he's in confrontation. Because John is giving us the gospel as we move closer and closer to the passion and the crucifixion. So he's warming us up. He's getting us prepared. And he's getting this prepared with the anger of the people, the Pharisees especially, more angry every day with Jesus because he declares to tell them that if you follow my word, you'll never see death. And then that whole controversy about the great prophets have died, Abraham's died, and yet you say they didn't keep God's word. And he said, well, I keep God's word because I know God, but you don't know God. I mean, just think, I mean, he did. How much more could he do to aggravate them? How much more could he do to just stick it to them? This is our preparation for Holy Week. But it's also a symbol in conversation about the covenant that God has with us, his people. And the first book, Genesis 17, talks about the original relationship that goes back, centuries. If we were to give it a timeline, we'd say this reading took place around 1850 BC. The conversation between God and Abraham. And it wasn't written until around the year 1000, when Solomon had gathered the temple and gathered the scribes and had all the people put their traditions together. And then you have the Pentateuch, the first five books, all being written down, but from memory of oral tradition. So today we go back to the beginning when God decided to make a covenant with his people through Abraham. It's another problematic issue here too, because God says, and that was given to Abraham, again, to 2000 BC, you might say, and it wasn't written down until 1000 BC. But God is telling Abram, after he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, I'm making you the father of many nations, and I'm giving you this land, and you will be the father of a host of nations. Now we read this, and we okay, yeah, that happened. But you realize how historically pungent this is. That's what's going on in Jerusalem right now. The fact that the nation of Israel, politically established in 1948 by UN and all that, but the origin of the people of this covenant, Israelites, in that land goes back thousands of years. It was not a conquering so much as assimilation. The Jews, under the leadership of Abraham and subsequent leaders, assimilated into the land. It used to be called the land of the Philistines, and they still have that origin in the word Palestine. But the people that they displaced were not what you and I know as Muslims today. No, they were people of the area, various tribes coming together, making not even a nation. They weren't a nation. It was a land of Philistines. And there were other tribes living there too. So the Israelites slowly assimilated, and based on this promise, God gave us this land to be ours through Abraham. So when you listen to the politics and the commentary in the news today, this is 2024, you realize it goes back to this. Yes, through the years, and we talk about the 7th century AD, there rose a group under the leadership of Muhammad that moved into the area, and their phrase was Islam. Okay, so you listen to Islam, you realize that's religious. The word Islam means submit. So the group under the leadership of Muhammad pushed their religious beliefs onto all of the people in the Arabian Peninsula and further, with the idea of submitting to Muhammad's revelation. And as they submitted to Muhammad's revelation, they became Muslims. Muslims, we call them Muslims, the U and the O interchangeably. So the land, theologically and geographically, belongs to the Jews. No two ways about it. Goes back thousands of years. And now, if you want to be Palestinian, because that's the area that was divided by the UN and given to the Gaza, given to one group, and the rest of Israel given to the other group. If you want to go back to that, when it was divided in a political, geopolitical method. And therefore, the people who were living in the land, who were Palestinians, mostly in Palestine area, were relegated to the Gaza, and the rest was relegated to the Israelites or the Jews. Very political, very confusing, very separate. Again, 1948, this is not going back thousands of years. When the boundaries were set up, Israel was established as a state. It had never been established as a state before that. It was the land of the Jews. It was the land of the Israelites. It was the land of the Palestinians. But because of the war and the settlement with the British-occupied leadership, it was divided. Good news, bad news. Bad news, it was divided. Good news, it was divided. And they haven't seen fit to cohabitate since then. Were they cohabitating before? Pretty much, but they knew who they were. All the people knew who they were. The Jews knew who they were. Those 20th century who knew they were Muslim, they knew who they were. Was there cooperation? Yeah, there was neighborhood cooperation. You talk to people who lived there through that period. They went to school with Jews or Palestinians and Christians, because don't forget, Christ came in the scene around what we say is year one. It all comes from here, Book of Genesis, Book of Beginnings. The theology of it is that God covenanted himself to us through Abraham. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. And a covenant is from our hearts connecting to God. That's why Jesus could say to the Jews, you don't know God. I know God. You don't know God, because Jesus is one. Jesus is God. And when he's talking about how he and God are connected, they reject that because they have their own notion. Religion is great, but it's been the source of bloodshed, animosity, and love for centuries. We have to pray now for the land of Israel. We have to pray for the Palestinians and the Jews, that one day cooperation will come back. And I'm not even talking about the terrorists who started the bloodbath that we're into right now. They're not even in the picture, because that's a whole nother political, nationalistic bloodbath caused by outside forces. So if we go to the theology of the Holy Land, it was given to the Jews by God through Abraham. And we are the inheritors of that covenant. We got the fulfillment of that covenant, Jesus Christ, whose life we celebrate.